This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on January 20th, 2011. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next three items on our agenda are a couple of audit reports that the Commission has actually taken final votes on, and at this stage we are preparing the final report of the Commission. And just as a little bit of background, in July we adopted a new directive to inform the construction of these reports. And so these are some of the first that will be operating under that directive. As I mentioned, the reason for our late delay was in terms of trying to reach some consensus on some of these documents. For purposes of today, I'm going to hold over the second item on the agenda, the proposed final audit report on the Tennessee Democratic Party, A0707, and the proposed final audit report on the Washington State Democratic Central Committee, OA5-28, because we are going to work on the third item on the agenda, which is the proposed final audit report on the Tennessee Republican Party federal election account, A0705. And if we can reach some agreement with respect to that, it will help us inform the discussion and the conclusion with respect to the other two. Before we move on to that discussion, are there any late submitted documents?
Yes, if I may, we have a few late submitted documents to read into the record. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of agenda documents 10-76, 10-76A, 10-76B, 10-75, 10-75A, 10-75B, 10-74, 10-74A, and agenda document numbers 11-02 and 11-02A.
Without objection, those will be before the Commission. Moving on to item number three, the Tennessee Republican Party federal election account. Do we have a presentation by the Audit Division, or shall we move immediately to drafts?
I think we should move immediately to drafts.
Thank you, Mr. Stoltz. We'll do so. There are a couple of new agenda items, agenda documents, some newer than others. There is a blue draft that was made blue pursuant to our December 2nd agenda. That was the original report circulated by the Audit Division. There was a second document made blue earlier this morning, which represented a proposal, and there is a red line that is some comments to the proposal that was on the table. So those are the documents that we have. Is there any discussion or any motions? Okay, Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're all so shy this morning. I think partly because the draft of this was circulated, the second to latest draft was circulated at 9:30 last night, and then we had revisions that were worked out, you know, virtually as we were walking in the door of this meeting. And I can support the latest round of revisions, but I just want to be clear on what we're doing here, because last year we spent months negotiating a new directive on how we were going to handle audits, and at the time there were templates, that word was used, prepared based on audit reports that we had in front of us that were supposed to be the model going forward. And then no sooner did we try and actually apply this that we found out that, no, those weren't the templates. We need new templates. We need to restructure them. The directive didn't capture what we wanted. The templates didn't capture what we wanted. most of the changes appear to me to be adding subheadings and numbered paragraphs. And I'm not entirely clear that the little numbers actually make anything any clearer. If you want to have more subheadings and you want to have numbers, that's okay with me. I don't know that it was worth holding things up for another month so we could put in numbered paragraphs and extra subheadings. But I guess what I want to know is, are we done now? Is this really going to be the template going forward? Or is the next time we get an audit report, are we going to then hear again, oh, no, 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 we don't like the way this is structured. We need to make more changes. Because we have to get our work done. These audit reports have been sitting around. One of these three audits, not one that we're actually going to vote on today, we had the hearing in 2009. And we have been sitting on these things for quite a long time. These committees deserve some closure on these issues. So my question to my colleagues is, are we done now?
Commissioner McGann.
Time will tell. The process with audits has been a long and painful process. And hopefully this is a culmination of what's been a lot of work by a lot of people. When I joined the commission, to those who I dealt with before I joined the commission, the audit process was not one that was well seen as particularly open and fair. Since then, the commission has done quite a bit to change that. We've put in a procedure where you can brief your issues directly with the commission. You can appear before the commission. We had a situation that caused me to essentially apologize from the dais to a group that was audited at the AFL-CIO. They audited on a theory that the commission had approved 30 years before, but nonetheless, they had to endure the burdens of an audit. That was really the genesis of the latest wave of changes. The issue here today with these audits and why these took so long is my sense was we had to get it right going forward, because if we get it right now, it will take care of itself in the future, and we won't have to keep revisiting it. And by it, I mean the ability of the public to see what happened in an audit. The audit reports years ago tended to be longer and more detailed. Over the years, they've gotten shorter and more in what I call audit speak. And it really is no one's fault. I think it just creeped over time. And it's consistent with what the agency has done in a number of matters, where when there's not agreement among the six-headed beast that is the commission, it gets glossed over by avoiding the issue or fuzzy language. These audits, at least in hopefully in the future, at least the one that's on the table today, I think stretches out the analysis a little bit more, and I think we're pushing back toward a little bit more of a narrative. The problem with the narrative I discovered after the directive, which doesn't really speak to what we're doing here today, what the directive spoke to was making clear that the audit report is the commission's report. It's not some other branch of the government called the audit division. It's actually the FEC is one body, and it's the commission's audit report. That's what the directive, I think, was designed to do. But the devil then became in the details. And after these audits, after we voted certain ways, the audit staff took another crack at drafting them. And some of the language was still confusing because of the structure of the document. And what became tough for me is to vote for a document to be construed as me adopting a position that I did not hold. And I know several of my colleagues had the same concern. So this latest round of changes, which I've been pushing for quite some time, was structural. And you're right, it is point headings. But the idea is that the audit reports are now more clear what is the portion that is what the auditors thought, their recommendation, what the respondent or the committee or whatever we call it, an audit, the person being audited thought, and then what the commission actually did. Other audit reports have tended to get munched together because in the narrative of the history of the audit, it was less than clear, and it's sometimes absolutely baffling as to whether that was a position of the auditors that was being articulated or a position of the commission. Hopefully, we have gotten past that, and we can now make clear which is which. I think it's important for the public to see what the auditors did and did not do. I did not think that when I joined the commission. I've been persuaded by others that that's an important consideration, and I think it does give the public an opportunity to see what happened. It also does maintain some independence of the auditors so that they're able to perform their function as auditors. Occasionally, though, auditors are forced in the position of playing lawyer where actually legal questions arise, and that's really where the tension is, because it's ultimately the commission who has the final word on the construction of the act and its own regulations, not the audit staff. And this brings back the point of we need to separate what the auditors did versus what the commission did, and now we've done that. We did it through the directive. We're doing this through this model, and that's really the intent. Yes, it's taken a long time, but haste makes waste, and I'd rather measure twice and cut once, and that's the only two cliches I'll use in connection with audit reports today. I'll save the rest for later in the meeting. So this was not an intentional slow roll or anything designed to merely let the perfect be the enemy of the good enough. I think it was important to get this right because we've spent too much time on audit reports. The commission over the years has spent too much time on audits, and it's the same issue time and time again. Years ago, 10 years ago, when Darrell Wold was on the commission, he developed the idea that you would vote to accept an audit report. That was considered not adopting the finding. That made no sense to the public over time because that distinction had sort of never really been codified or written down. So the point today is to make clear, at least for me and I know several of my colleagues, is the section where the commission did the action, that's the part that really I think is the operative approach going forward. Old audits, very tough to tell what was the view of the audit and what was the view of the commission. Also tough to know why commissioners may have rejected a finding or modified a finding. So really what this is, sure, it's a writing job, it's point headings, but I think it's going to go a long way to clarity for the public. The other phenomena of audits is because we have auditors who have been here a long time with a tremendous amount of institutional knowledge, going way back, even frankly, before the FEC was established by Congress. We like to say Joe Stultz, the head of audit, was at the FEC before there was an FEC. At times, the commission has relied on that institutional knowledge. I think it needs to be memorialized more in audit reports, and I think that's something that we're now doing. I want to thank my colleagues for indulging me in this quest to bring some clarity and some transparency to the audit process. I know it wasn't easy. Much of what I was doing early on made no sense to many people. Over time, it started to make sense, and I think in the future, it'll make even more sense, and ultimately, it'll make sense to the public who reads these and those who have to live under the regulations imposed by the government on their political activities. So with that, I yield back, and I thank the chair for the opportunity to express my views. I know Commissioner Peterson has some substantive comments, but I just wanted to address the Commissioner Weintraub's comments on why it took so long and what we're actually doing here. What we're doing here is trying to do a better job at informing the public as to what the commission has actually done.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with what Commissioner McGann just said, and I think in answer to Commissioner Weintraub's question, I mean, it certainly is not my aim and my goal to have the commission rewrite these extensively every time every time something comes up for our consideration. I think that the goal has been to provide a model, and sometimes providing templates is easy in theory, but when the actual details get put into those templates, it took a little bit of working out, but I think that this exercise, though frustrating and I think lengthier than I think any of us would have liked it to be, hopefully we've worked out many of the kinks so that these can be disposed of in a much more efficient manner. A couple of clarifications I want to make sure on the record. The audit that we'll be voting on today isn't the only audit that we've been working on over the last month or so. So it's not that we spent a month just adding headings and renumbering things. There have been a number of other audits, especially one in particular that has a finding that has a number of issues within it. And one of our goals was to try to unpack those issues in a way that provided a little bit more clarity as to what the commission decided and what the legal standards were for each of those issues. And that's one that's being held over, and hopefully we can reach a quick resolution on that. But there have been a number of audits that we've been working on simultaneously. But I think that I appreciate my colleagues. Again, this was kind of a late-breaking effort to try to get at least some of this off the table at this particular meeting. And we've been the base document is agenda document number 10-75-A. And we have some, I guess, at-the-table edits that will be proposed. I don't know if we would like to address those now. I think they look fine, and I appreciate the chair for the response to the edits that we submitted. The only change that I would make is on pages. This is I'm going to be referring pages to a document that isn't blue, but this is in the additional issues section. First on page 13 and then on page 16. Currently, in the blue document, it's the beginning sentence of the third paragraph, talking about in light of the clarity regarding the amount of volunteer involvement needed to qualify for the volunteer materials exception, the commission did not approve the committee, the audit staff's recommended finding by the required four votes in the draft that was given to us by the chair. That introductory phrase is deleted. I would ask that we include that phrase back in. I think it provides a little more understanding about why the commission did what it did. I think it is accurate that there is the issue of the clarity of the standard for what will be sufficient volunteer involvement to qualify for the volunteer materials exception has been one that has been a difficult one that many commissions over many years have been grappling with. And so with that small change, I can otherwise support all the edits that were forwarded to us by the chair. Thank you.
Thank you. And I do want to thank Commissioner Peterson. While he was chair, he did try to put these on the agenda a number of times, and this has been something that we've been working on. And one of the reasons I put them on this agenda is because these reports have been pending before the commission for quite some time, and sometimes it is a deadline that does force us to actually get on paper particular views. And so the goal would be to use this as a template. I hear from my colleagues that is the goal. So we will take people at their word that this is the format that we're going to use going forward, and we'll ask the auditors if we can achieve consensus on this to conform the other documents on the agenda to that. Any further discussion or motions? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to be clear that I think, as I said, I'm willing to go along with them. I don't think we've added any great clarity to the document in these last-minute edits. I think it is just as clear or unclear as it was before. I am happy to be in a position where we can give some direction to the staff and turn it back to them to do the work. It's my experience that when we give clear directions to the staff, they follow them pretty well. You know, the problem is when we give muddled directions to the staff, then it's harder to figure out what exactly their marching orders are. And I also wanted to say that, you know, we vote on things. We either adopt the conclusions or don't adopt the conclusions, accept recommendations or not, and the commission has been doing that for as long as it's been in existence. But the commission is more than six individuals who get to sit at the dais and make speeches here. The commission is a government agency comprised of roughly 350 hardworking individuals, and I think that I want to be really clear that I don't think we're the only people that count. I don't think we ought to engage in rewriting things just because we can, just for the sake of rewriting it. We get the final say, and we get to be the ones who adopt the document at the end of the day. And we're responsible for it, but from my perspective, the agency cannot survive, can't function on the work of six people, even six people and their very industrious executive assistants and counsel. Most of the work in this agency always has, always will be done by the people who work below the ninth floor. And I'm very appreciative of that work. And I think the, drawing these distinctions between the auditors and the commission, as if the auditors are not part of the commission, sets up a false dichotomy, and I'm not in favor of doing that.
Commissioner Walther.
I can go along with the template that we're using, we're going to adopt today. I'm not critical of the ones we've used in the past. I think the main point, of course, as Commissioner McGann says, is we want to make sure that it's clearly understood what happened, who did what, how response was given to recommendations made by the audit. The one thing that has concerned me in the process is a little bit of an over attempt to rewrite this. And my concern is I don't want to see the independence of the audit division eroded in any respect. I think one of the most important things about the audit is that the auditors get to do their best professional job, and we can comment on it, but I don't think we should supersede it. And so I think the template's fine. This particular draft, the changes that are made, I can live with except for one, I'll have to mention. And then other than that, I think if we go forward for a while and let's see what happens. We did I think, do a lot of work last year, and I thought I got the job done, and here we're doing it again. But I can't be critical of it because there seems to be a view that we can reach a conclusion on something that will go forward without further amendment. I would like to ask Mr. Stoltz if there's anything in this audit or are you comfortable with the format that we're looking at today? Do you have any thoughts on where to go? I mean, it's not been the format that's always been used by your office. And I know that you have to, sometimes just suck it up and go with what the commission does, but this is what you do day in and day out. So we really, I think, need to know how you see it.
Formats evolve over time. And, if the consensus is that this is easier to follow and clear, that's fine. I have no objection to putting it in this format. It's really doesn't make a lot of difference to me one way or the other. As long as we can get things, if this is what we want to do, then great, that's what we'll do.
The one area that I asked to be amended was to delete the commission conclusion on the draft 1075A, and so the draft 1075B makes some other changes that Commissioner Peterson mentioned, but at the very end it says, in lack of clarity regarding the amount of volunteer involvement needed to qualify for the volunteer exemption, we did this before, and I objected, and I didn't vote for this coming out of audit for the same reason, because I think it sends a message that, in our view, the law is not clear enough to enforce. And that's basically the way we've kind of punted on this. And I think the volunteer exemption is there for a reason, and we should try and exercise our best commission judgment to try and define what that is under the facts that are before us. Sometimes we deadlock, but just to say, well, there's a lack of clarity means we don't even have to talk about it anymore. So I'm concerned about that, and I'll vote against it, but only for that reason, just to maintain the consistency with my previous position on it.
Any further discussion? Vice Chair Hunter. Sure. I'd like to move adoption of agenda document 10-75B with the change described by Commissioner Peterson at the bottom of page 13, restoring the language on the last two lines of page 13. All right. And that's also on page 16. Thank you. And page 3.
The question before the commission is the motion to approve the final audit report for the Tennessee Republican Party federal election account as reflected in 10-75B with the changes described by Vice Chair Hunter on page 3, page 13, and page 16. Is there any discussion on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
The motion carries 5-1 with Commissioner Weintraub, Commissioner Peterson, Commissioner McGann, Vice Chair Hunter, and myself voting in favor, Commissioner Walther voting against. Thank you very much.